From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our meditation for this morning is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. The evening and the morning were the first day. Was it so even in the beginning? Did light and darkness divide the realm of time in the first day? Then little wonder is it if I have also changes in my circumstances from the sunshine of prosperity to the midnight of adversity. It will not always be the blaze of noon even in my soul concerns. I must expect at seasons to mourn the absence of my former joys and seek my beloved in the night. Nor am I alone in this, for all the Lord's beloved ones have had to sing the mingled song of judgment and of mercy, of trial and deliverance, of mourning and of delight. It is one of the divine arrangements of providence that day and night shall not cease, either in the spiritual or natural creation, till we reach the land of which it is written, "There is no night there." What our Heavenly Father ordains is wise and good. What then, my soul, is it best for thee to do? Learn first to be content with this divine order, and be willing with Job to receive evil from the hand of the Lord as well as good. Study next to make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Praise the Lord for the sun of joy when it rises, and for the gloom of evening as it falls. There is beauty both in sunrise and sunset. Sing of it, and glorify the Lord. Like the nightingale, pour forth thy notes at all hours. Believe that the night is as useful as the day. The dews of grace fall heavily in the night of sorrow. The stars of promise shine forth gloriously amid the darkness of grief. Continue thy service under all changes. If in the day thy watchword be labor, at night exchange it for watch. Every hour has its duty. Do thou continue in thy calling as the Lord's servant, until he shall suddenly appear in his glory. My soul, thine evening of old age and death is drawing near. Dread it not, for it is part of the day. And the Lord has said, "I will cover him all the day long."
Thank you.
Thomas Martin grew up under the influence of a drunken father. He participated in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s and was imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher, whose testimony and ministry have seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge. For your copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. But don't delay. There are only a few copies left. Continuing his series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Five Consequences of the Certainties of Sovereign Grace. In the previous message, he examined verses 31 through 39 under the theme of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. He reminded us that the entire chapter is an exposition of verse 1, where the Apostle Paul declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In verse 31, Paul asks a question. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In answer, Dr. Cairns presented five certainties of sovereign grace which Paul sets forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. These are the truths: that God is for us, He has delivered up His Son for us, He has justified us in Christ, Christ has performed a complete work for us, and because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. Today, Dr. Cairns begins to look at five consequences of the certainties of sovereign grace.
We're turning again this evening to Romans chapter 8 to read together the final section of the chapter, verse 31 to verse 39, the last verses of Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Last Sabbath evening, as we turned to these verses, we considered five certainties of sovereign grace. This section commences with a question and continues with a series of further questions. This is in response to what Paul has already been laying down in the prior verses. The controlling text of Romans chapter 8, of which everything else is really an exposition, is the statement in verse 1, "There is therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The apostle has, through this chapter, worked that theme out, expounded it, and applied it. He has reached to the heights of divine inspiration, because some of the things that Paul here describes are indeed the very pinnacle of the glorious revelation of God in Christ. We should never get so used to the words that we skip over them, we read them, and they make little impression on us. When we read such things as, "You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." Adoption. You are now adopted into the family of God. You have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, dwelling within you. You are named by the name of Almighty God. You have all the rights and all the privileges of the sons of God. And you can come to him and cry, Abba, Father. In Scripture, that is how the Lord Jesus prayed. In the darkest woe and agony of his suffering, he cried, Abba, Father. We have access to God as the sons of God in union with the Son of God through his merit. And we can also cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit, Paul tells us. We are the children of God. For any man to take that title, for any group to assume it to themselves, would be folly and arrogance of the worst kind. Furthermore, it would be most probably a shot in the dark, a mere expression of hope never to be fulfilled. But the Spirit of God comes to the believer in Christ, and he bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Then, Paul goes on to this statement that beggars human imagination, the human power to conceive it, never mind to expound it. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. What does that mean? I have tried to expound it. The more I would try, the more I realize how much I feel. I have read others seeking to expound it. I've been moved and blessed by their exposition. And yet, at the end of the day, I realize they have failed. Heirs of God. There's not a man in the world, there's not a mind in the world that can possibly wrap itself around all that is involved in that glorious statement. And as if that were not sufficient, Paul goes on to say we are joint heirs, equal heirs with Christ. Equal heirs with Christ. He goes on to tell us something of what that is going to lead to. He speaks of a day that we are earnestly expecting. And he says there's going to be the manifestation, the full revelation of the sons of God. That will be a glorious day. When the very body enters into the fullness of Christ's redemption, and this vile body will be changed to be made like unto his glorious body. The redemption of the body, so that with a perfect body in a perfect and a perfect soul, in perfect union with a perfect Christ, we will enjoy perfect glory for all eternity. There you've got the full circle of human destiny. When God created man, to use the description of the late Cornelius Van Til, he created a perfect soul in a perfect body and placed it in a perfect environment in fellowship with God. Sin wrecked all that. Now, as the result of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, in that day of the manifestation of the sons of God, once again, we have perfect souls, in perfect bodies, in a perfect environment, in perfect fellowship with the living Christ. This is the destiny of the people of God. In the light of all that, Paul says, we know something. We know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that God has started this whole movement to bring us to glory. We know that He has sent Christ. We know that Christ has lived. We know that Christ has died. We know that Christ has risen. We know that He's ascended back to glory, the forerunner of His people. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We know that we are the sons of God, adopted to be made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We know that, and therefore we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God. And we know it because of the eternal purpose of God. This is why it bothers me that so many Christians want to turn the sovereign electing purpose of God into a theological football, something to be kicked all over the place, and to be made simply a matter of stupid, bitter, mindless controversy. And that's true on both sides of the aisle, by the way. There are people who are so bitter that they miss the entire joy of God's eternal purpose. How do we know that all things are working together for good? Because we're called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Sealed, signed, and delivered. The security of the saints of God. Now Paul says, what shall we say to these things? You can't just say these things and shrug your shoulders and go on as if you said it's sunny or it's wet. You can't just say these things, shrug your shoulders, so what? If these things are true, these are the most earth-shattering statements and truths that we can consider. These are the most life-transforming truths that we can consider. So, what shall we say to these things? I think far too many of God's people even are saying very little. I was talking this morning about meditating. Talking to ourselves about the great things of God. Reflecting and ruminating upon divine truth. This is what Paul is calling us to do here. Think on these things. Consider these things. Ponder these things deeply. And let your whole life be a response to this sovereign grace of God. What shall we say? Well, last Sabbath evening, as I have indicated, we looked at five certainties. Not going to go through them again, because if I start preaching them again, we'll never get to this evening's message. Five great certainties, starting off with God is for us. Never forget it. He's for us, He's not for our enemies. He's not against us. This notion that so many Christians have grown up with, that God, our Father in heaven, is like some great ogre standing behind us with a big stick, a club ready to smash us on the head every time we somehow err or displease Him. Oh, He is a God of holiness. There is such a thing as divine chastening, the chastening of a father's love. But God is for us. Always. In every circumstance, He is for us. That's the first thing. Said I wasn't going to go down them. I'm very, very tempted. but I leave it to your good memory to supply the rest. Now, tonight I want us to look at the other side of these verses that we have considered to extract the great certainties. And I want us to think of five consequences of the certainties of sovereign grace. We have seen these certainties. Now from them, there are five great consequences or conclusions that we may draw. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And the first great consequence is no subjugation. That's the force of verse 31. Who can be against us?
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.